All right. Well, we will have our lovely ladies in the back, our acolytes for this morning, bring up the candles. So please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. This morning we have Olivia and Mallory. All right. If you would please stand, our first praise psalm is 2087. We will glorify the King of Kings. Please remain standing for our call to worship. The congregation response is in bold. Listen for God's word. Listen for God's word. Listen for God's word. Listen for God's word.
God of power and majesty, you call forth creation, acting with strength and power. We praise you as we stand in awe of your glory. You are mighty and powerful, and yet you care for us, pouring your spirit of love upon us, recreating us for your work in the world. You are at work in our midst, offering a new day of hope and possibility. Open our hearts to the sound of your voice. Send the power of your spirit among us that we might become agents of your love and your peace. Amen and amen.
Since I still have 1 minute, oh, now 30 seconds. All right, we're just going to start with the opening hymn, number 254, We Three Kings.
Feel the fire.
You may be seated. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Angela Lasecki, worship leader for this morning. Our pianist is Melissa Ogden, and our acolytes this morning were Mallory and Olivia. And now we will have our children's time.
I just love it because you guys just knew what you were supposed to do. I didn't even have to ask you to come up. You just did. Awesome. Awesome. So what has happened since we were here last? Did we have something new happen? No? You're all looking at me like I'm a crazy lady up here. Did we have a new year? Did we throw our 2023 calendar out, and did we put up a new calendar, 2024? Yes. Did any of you stay up till midnight? Yeah? Very good. Very good. How many of your parents were sleeping on the couch? They're not admitting that. They're probably smart not to admit that, but isn't that awesome that we're beginning a new year? And I'm going to use an old word because I don't think that they use this word so much anymore. But we used to make New Year's resolutions. So what that means, that big word means, is plans for the new year, maybe to make changes for the positive. Maybe we're going to start a new hobby. Maybe we're going to start trying to be nicer to our friends or getting our homework done before our parents even ask us or all kinds of things like that. It can be anything, can't it, to make our lives better. And the message this morning is about our purpose. What do you think your purpose is? Do you think you have a purpose? Yes? Each of us have something set on our heart from God, absolutely. And that is usually our purpose. You are just so smart. We already knew that. But yes, you are so smart. Thank you. And our purpose and God's purpose need to be one and the same, don't they? When we listen for the Lord and when we listen, and how we listen is maybe when we're praying, we stop for a minute and we listen. And maybe God is leading us through his Holy Spirit to do something. And maybe it's just to be kind to somebody that looks like they're having a bad day. There's all kinds of ways that we can listen for God's purpose in our life. But one thing I know for sure, and I'm going to repeat it again a couple times this morning, every one of you has a purpose. God would not have you here in this world if he didn't have a purpose for you. He knows that you can do something very special that there's no one else in the world that can do just like you would do it. And he has called all of you this morning by name and brought you into this world with your parents' help, and he loves you unconditionally. And I just want you to remember this morning that our purpose is God's purpose. So listen for God to lead you. Listen for God and what he is asking you to do, and you will never go wrong. I don't care if you're 3 years old, or if you're 90 years old, God has a plan for you, and he loves you without question. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to know that you have a plan for our life to guide us and to love us, and we want our purpose in life to to be exactly played out the way you want it to be. So, Lord, help us to listen for your voice and be obedient to what you want us to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, kids, for coming up this morning. Thank you for being here.
Our Old Testament reading is Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5, the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Our prayer needs this morning, many of those are on the bottom of your bulletin, the second page there. Do we have unspoken needs here this morning? Are there unspoken needs? Absolutely. And I know those of you listening in, I'm sure that there are those unspoken needs as well. God knows your need. He sees your hand. He knows your heart. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Spirit that dwells here in this place. Thank you for loving us so much that you came to earth, you put on flesh. You came to teach us how to love one another and how to serve you. Sometimes we come before your throne, Lord, and we are pretty weary and tired. The holidays were wonderful, busy time as we celebrated Jesus' birth. As we return to life without all of the extra festive celebrations, we look and long to avoid feeling let down or discouraged. Lord, teach us to listen for your gentle voice. Help us awaken to the quiet stirrings of new life in our hearts and in our communities. As your children called into being by your word, remake and renew us that we might follow you with joy. Lord, be with those that are struggling this day, those that are having health concerns and worries. Lord, we pray for those that are awaiting procedures. Lord, we thank you for the victories, for the healings. Lord, for those that have been restored, for those that have had good news. We celebrate, Lord, those victories this morning as we celebrate this new year, this first Sunday, as we in a little bit will celebrate Holy Communion together in this place at this time. Lord, we have come this morning for no other reason than to honor you and worship you, to give you our very lives, and to honor you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Holy Spirit into this place this morning that we might tangibly feel that Spirit that we trust to lead us and guide us through this next year, whatever it might hold. Lord, we know that you're already there and that you're saying, just trust me. Lord, you always have our back. And you always know the perfect timing for what is best. Lord, fill our hearts this day. Help us to focus our minds on you and your purpose in our lives. We pray that you will minister to us through the reading of your scripture, the singing of the hymns, and the responsive readings through all of this engagement that we have here this morning. Lord, help this worship to be pleasing in your very presence. All thanks, all praise, all honor, and glory may they be yours, Lord, as we remember the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Starting with verse 4 through verse 11. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God. Welcome to 2024. I'm glad that you're all here this morning. We don't have any idea what this year's going to bring, but I'm going to claim that it is going to be better than last year. How about you? We love to start out by setting objectives, maybe rather than resolutions. Resolutions kind of got a bad rap, didn't it? Because many resolutions were started and then weren't able to be followed through with for one reason or another, but I'm going to call them objectives this morning, and that's a plan, isn't it? That's a plan for what's ahead. And maybe some of those objectives would include some things we'd like to forget about from last year. I hope each one of you has a wonderful year this year, and I believe that you will. Normally, we make some kind of commitments at the beginning of the year. That's not a bad thing. Maybe we're going to get in shape or eat healthier. Maybe we're going to save some money or go on vacation or maybe begin a new hobby. Whatever it might be, it's not a bad time. It's a pretty good time, actually, to make some new commitments. But I want to add one to the long list that we might already have going for our own lives. It may or may not already be on your list, but it's important to remember to consider adding, thinking about the goodness of God and how good he has truly been to each one of us, the things that he's brought us through, the way he has been there to lean on during tough days, the goodness of God. So to spend some intentional time thinking about who the Lord is in your life. I can tell you who he is in my life, but I'm asking you to think about who he is this morning in your life. You might be saying, listen, what does my thinking about the Almighty have to do with my reaching my goals or objectives for this new year? How is that going to help me out in achieving those goals? Well, walk with me just for a couple of minutes. Our perception of God and who we believe God to be begins to shape the view that we have of ourselves. Did you ever think of that before? It's time we think about our perception of God and who we believe God to be begins to shape the view we have of ourselves. What we believe about ourselves begins to affect the choices we make, whether they're positive choices or whether they're not positive choices. The choices we make affect the destiny, the very trajectory of our lives. It starts with the foundation of who we believe God is, and then who we believe we are, and what our purpose is. You know, I started out as a youth director before I was officially appointed to a church. I was hired as a youth director. And so many times we talked about to the kids about, the young people about what their purpose was and about the choices that they make. And our choices always have consequences, don't they? Whether we have good choices or bad choices, they always have consequences. And so the more good choices we make, the less consequences we have. But consequences of good choices are that we can see the blessings played out in someone else, usually, because you are being a blessing to others. And then we get to see how that blessing plays out in their lives by giving them confidence, giving them encouragement, giving others a good word for the day, by being a positive influence. You may think that no one's watching or paying attention, but they are. I think I've told this story before. A senior pastor that I worked under for quite a few years took one of the children aside into his office during our family night. We had different areas for different age groups, all the way from adults all the way down to preschoolers. And this boy was having a really hard time focusing, and because of that, no one else was able to focus either. So the pastor took him in his office, and he said he was doing somersaults all over the floor. He was rolling around. He was acting, you know, crazy. And he said, I thought this child is not hearing one word I'm saying. And he said, then I would ask a question, and he remembered everything that I had just talked about. He answered every question. He was paying attention. So when we think people aren't paying attention, perhaps they really are watching your actions. I know this lady goes to this church, and there's expectations, isn't there? There's expectations that you are going to be kind and loving and encouraging and supportive, and I can go on with a whole list of other things. When they know that you're Christian or that you're a Christ follower, there's expectations. And in this new year, 2024, let those expectations be positive ones so that people can see that our purpose is in serving the Lord with all that we say and all that we do. If I open my Bible up to Psalm 8, let me read to you Psalm 8 quickly. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, What is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. In that scripture I read to you this morning from Mark, we also see a reflection of Jesus Christ. He is that perfect example, isn't he? This description this morning in Psalm, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. He is majestic because he sees beyond. He always puts other needs before his own. And he always is willing to help others. Just some of the attributes that we want to emulate in this life and in this new year, 2024, to consciously reflect Christ in what we do. These teachings are essential for us to learn, and they can help us to live a life of meaning and a life of purpose. That's what our goal is, isn't it? You hear people say often, I don't know what I'm here for. What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? Much of the time, I think it's about listening for what God wants you to be doing. We don't always hear his audible voice, but we know when he impresses on our heart that someone is lonely or someone's sick or somebody is in need of a friend today, that we are in tune with that because we are in tune with him, because his purpose needs to be our purpose, and his purpose for us is to serve and honor him with our lives. Now, our scripture this morning and what we are celebrating today is the baptism of our Lord. Jesus did that not because he needed to be forgiven of his sins, because he was sinless, but because he did it as an example to initiate in his ministry officially. Now, we've gone from a week or so ago from this infant birth in a manger, and now we're talking about a man that is starting out in ministry, being baptized with water, knowing that Christ is baptizing us with the Holy Spirit as he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I think kids especially, if you look on the tree, do you see doves on this tree? We see some doves, and they are symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And so they're very important. Whether you see them at Christmas time, whether you see them at Easter time, you're going to see them at Pentecost. You're going to see them different times of the year. And every time you see those doves, remember that the Holy Spirit is present here in this place with you, no matter where you are. You're not going to leave here today without the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing is, he can be with all of us at the same time. He's there for all of us. Now let me talk to you about something completely different. And believe me, there is a connection. With its loud roar and impressive mane, the lion is a fascinating species. I probably should have asked the kids this morning. How much do you know about this king of the beasts? In size, male lions can be as large as 8 feet long, 4 feet high at the shoulder, and 550 pounds in weight. Lions live in family units called prides, which can have anywhere from 4 to 37 members. The females do most of the hunting, usually in the evenings. They pursue animals like giraffes and zebras at speeds of about 35 miles an hour. And a lion's roar can be heard nearly 6 miles away. Did you know that? That's a long ways, isn't it? 6 miles away. It might seem strange to you that I've gone into such detail about an animal this morning, but it's important that we know about the lion because it's a traditional symbol of the Gospel of Mark. The lion represents the strength and power of the Lion of Judah, as Jesus is called in Revelation 5:5, and the arrival of Jesus' kingdom. According to early church tradition, the author of Mark is John Mark, a cousin of Barnabas, who accompanied him and Paul on part of their first missionary journey. The gospel is based on the preaching of Peter and was probably written in Rome during the last days of the apostle's life. As the book opens, John the Baptist is calling on Israel to repent from sin. The heart of his message is that a greater one will follow him, this Lion of Judah, Mark 1, 7, and 8. We find that person in Jesus of Nazareth. John, again, is baptizing him not because Jesus needed to repent, but as a public affirmation that he is the Messiah. And another unique thing in all of that is that the whole Trinity is involved in this. The Son is baptized, the Father speaks from heaven, and the Spirit descends like a dove, it tells us in Scripture. The gospel story has begun. The time frame seems to speed by, doesn't it? Because we're going to be in the Lenten season in just another month. And then we're already talking about Jesus on the cross. We've barely soaked in what it means that Jesus came as a baby, an infant, a precious, innocent child. We can barely grasp that fact when now we're talking about the gospel story beginning and Jesus' official ministry that makes all the difference in the world for us. The first verse in the book of Mark announces the beginning of the gospel. We must believe the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died to save you from the penalty of sin and death. And if you believe in those truths, you are a child of God. In his best-selling book, Rick Warren notes that the search for purpose in life has puzzled people for literally thousands of years. The reason, he explains, is because we usually begin at the wrong starting point. We begin with ourselves. The real secret to purpose is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Today, we think about the life of Jesus as it's described in this Gospel of Mark this morning. It's a lively account, full of action. You know, John the Baptist was kind of an unusual kind of guy. We would probably, in this day and age, have called him a little eccentric with his unusual dress, unusual things he ate. But he was certainly chosen for a very important purpose. And he was just the perfect one to speak boldly about repentance and the need for baptism. We see how all that Jesus did during his earthly ministry was influenced by his own sense of purpose and knowing what we were going to need to know and what we were going to need to do. Mark indicates that John's ministry of preaching and baptism fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 40. John was sent to set the stage for the coming Messiah and announce his purpose. John's message promised that the one who came after him would indeed baptize with the Holy Spirit. You know, you might not think your random acts of kindness or the things that you do on a daily basis matter, or that anyone's noticing, or that it's not as profound as John the Baptist in calling out in the wilderness about repentance. You may not feel like you're making a difference at all, but trust me, you are. I have done many, many funeral services where people stand and say, "This person made a difference in my life, and I wished I would have told them when they were here. They made an impact on me. I watched the way they lived. I watched the way they treated their neighbors. I watched the way they acted. And it made a difference in my life. It made me want to be better." What you do and say and how you act makes a difference. And maybe that is your purpose, to change even one person's attitude or one person's trajectory or direction because of your support or kindness, because of a word that is desperate to be heard, that can only come from you. You are precious in God's sight. You are precious in our sight. And we are so glad that you have joined with us on this first Sunday of the new year, whether it's on the radio or whether it is here in this sanctuary. We are glad that you are with us. God has a plan for you. Let our objectives for this new year be one and the same as God's objectives, because his plan is the best plan, isn't it? It's always the best plan. And I've heard testimony after testimony about, even during the darkest moments of someone's life, remembering after the fact how God, even in all of the hard situations, God made it the best it could possibly be to protect you and to help you during that moment of hardship or loss. That even though it doesn't take away all the pain or all the hardship, God will be there for you. His plan is for you to be successful, for you to find fulfillment in life, to bring you joy, and to fulfill his plan for his ministry in this world. Let his kingdom come. Let his purpose be our purpose. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us, hearing our pleas and our cries. Thank you for knowing what we need before we even ask. Lord, we love you. Let us honor you with our lives and with our service to you. Make our purpose known, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we'll have our choir anthem. Thank you. ask you to open your hymn books this morning to page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen and amen. You are invited to his table. Come, all of you are welcome. God of strength and glory, you created all that is. You continue to sustain the world with the power of your love. You give us life and hope, and with grateful hearts we bring these gifts to you this morning. May they bring forth your realm of peace for all people. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 369, Blessed Assurance. Thank you. May the God of love strengthen you to serve creation with joy. May God bless you with deep peace. Named as God's beloved, go forth, building new communities of blessing for others. Let's close by singing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."